You're listening to Zen Crossing, where spirituality meets everyday life, with your host, Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center.
Today we'll be talking about the connection between improv and Zen. Our guest is Michael Barker. Michael began improv theater about the same time he began meditating, around 1971, when in college. He studied theater at Colorado College and at the American Conservatory of Theater in San Francisco, and worked as an actor in Los Angeles for about 28 years. Recently, he has been enjoying theater more as an avocation, as a director of plays here on Vashon, and a leader of theater reading groups and workshops. He still works out his improv chops, doing long-form improvisational theater in Seattle. Michael, it's great to have you here.
It's great to be here, Koshin. It's nice to see you.
Thanks for coming. It's always nice to see you. I should also say that Michael comes to the Zen Center with some frequency and always sits in the back row, but I always enjoy having him here.
I always enjoy being there, and it was a nice session today. I enjoyed your talk.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, tell us, how did you get into improv?
I really got into improv because of, you know, my involvement in theater. It kind of had become a, you know, part of the curriculum of theater as a result of a woman by the name of Viola Spolin, and out of Chicago. And improv became really sort of part of the tools of becoming an actor, being able to do stuff spontaneously.
And that was pretty new.
Yeah, well, actually, no. I mean, you know, you can source it way back to Commedia dell'arte, you know, to all those guys way back in Italy, and even before, if you want to, you know, in terms of being improvisational with their work. But in terms of the United States, improv kind of became in vogue around 1960, and it became quite a powerful force in theater training in the 70s, and still is.
And you started improv at about the same time you started a meditation practice.
As it happens.
Yeah, as it happens. But what's your spiritual path been like?
When I was at Colorado College, Transcendental Meditation became very much around, and I hooked into that at CC, and you know, was pretty diligent about meditating morning and evening. Went to a few weekend events and got into it. Found that was also true at American Conservatory Theater. All the professional actors there were going through training there. So, you know, and that was in the early 70s. And so meditation became part of my life at a pretty early age, or pretty early professional age, in terms of something that was connected with theater as a way of getting quiet.
You say that everybody was doing it. Do yeah. you see any connections between your spiritual practice and improv?
Well, sure, I see a connection between my spiritual practice and everything.
Okay, you know? Good answer.
Improv. It has a lot to do with letting go of control, and being in the moment, and listening. And would you think those are three qualities that are important in meditation? I'm throwing it back at you, Koshin.
Sounds pretty good to me. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Opening yourself up to what others have to give you. Also, I think improv. There's kind of a meta awareness that one has when you're doing improv, you know, if you will, seeing yourself from above, if that makes sense to you. And I wonder if that connects up to meditation in some ways. I think it does for me anyway.
Yeah. In the Zen school, there's a long history of spontaneous action as well. Just acting spontaneously from zero, you know, from before thinking.
Yeah, and one of the tenets of improv is to get thinking out of your way and allowing oneself to be in the moment.
Yeah.
And well, you know, that's a piece of cake.
And not really.
No.
What do you think people's biggest reservations are about doing improv?
Fear.
In your experience?
Fear.
Fear.
Fear. Like anything, fear. It's well, and it's fear connected with, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know what to say. I'm not funny. People will laugh at me. I will fail. You know, that kind of stuff. And the truth of the matter is that that's, you know, improv is not about being funny. It's actually not even about talking. It's about listening. And it's about paying attention to what the others have to, what the other person has to give you, versus trying to control the scene and drive it.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it prevents most people from even stepping into improv because they think, I got to be funny.
Yeah, or I got to go have the right answer.
I got to have the right. I got to do it right.
Yeah, I got to do it right.
Doing it right is right there. That's a real pitfall with improv, because the only real doing it right is, you know, not be so harsh and judging yourself that you freeze. You know.
Well, again, thinking about koan practice in the Zen tradition, there is no right answer to a koan. The right thing to do is, again, just come at it fresh. Come at it from as from deep quiet, if you can.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people realize that improv is really about being quiet too. It's about listening and paying attention.
Okay, so listening and paying attention. What are the rules in improv? Are there rules?
Yeah, sure. There are. I'd say saying yes is a big rule. Saying yes to whatever offer is made to you. If your partner says, "Hey, Barney, you got a corn coming out of your ear right now," you know, you would be Barney, for one, and have an ear of corn coming out of your ear, right? So that's saying yes to that offer.
I guess it's being flexible enough to be able to say yes to something.
Yeah, to let go of control. No, I'm not going to have it that way. You know, my name is not Barney, and there's no, I don't like corn, right? It would be you being in control, right? And also kill the improv.
Well, when somebody first comes in, how do you start? When you're teaching improv,
I guess the first thing is to have them get used to saying yes and, rather than yes but or no. In other words, if they start to accept the offers that are given to them, then they got a fighting chance.
Okay. Well, I'm new at improv. Let's go.
Okay.
I'll try my yes ands.
All right. So I'll just give you the rules here of this particular, because improvs are often defined by some sort of quote game. And here's the rule of this one. You and I are not going to be ourselves. You're not Kosh and I'm not Michael. That's one rule.
Okay.
And you have to accept what I say as true, and I have to accept what you say as true, right? And go with it. Say yes and.
Yes. Right?
And the last letter that I speak, is going to be the first letter that you speak in your sentence.
Oh, boy.
It's
okay.
Yeah, and then there's no spell check. Okay. So that's the rule. The last letter, first letter. Last letter I speak is the first letter that you speak. And and when I stop speaking, then you would start speaking. But you don't have to speak right away. You can pause. You don't have to. You
know. Sure.
Okay. You're
I'm ready.
So I just like our technical producer to give us a one-word offer, and that's going to define what the scene is about. Just give us into the mic a one-word offer of what the scene is going to be about.
Pasta.
Pasta? Thank you. Pasta. My Italian friend, what kind of pasta are we going to have tonight?
tall pasta that's going to be delicious. Mike. Forget I said Michael. Tall pasta that's going to be delicious.
So, do you like your pasta al dente?
Eh?
happens to be my favorite kind of pasta, al dente. So I will go with the tall pasta that you will serve on your plate.
Edible, very edible. Yeah. I do love me some tall pasta, and I do love it on a plate.
Everybody else does too, is my understanding.
Oh, gosh. I hope we can have this meal every night.
Too much pasta is never enough pasta. All right, so we're going to do a different improv now.
Right. Sounds good.
This one, the rules are, again, one of the challenges of doing improv in a radio is it's physical too, and so I'm doing verbal stuff that we can do, and maybe it'll translate on the air without getting into a lot of the physicality that's sometimes needed. But this one's called ABCs, and I'm going to start with a letter of the alphabet. And when I finish talking, you're going to start with the next letter in the alphabet. So in other words, let's say I start with the letter D. When I finish talking, you'll have the letter E.
E.
And we'll try to create a whole scene. And the way we create a whole scene is we want to try to keep on adding information to each other by making offers to each other that establishes characters, a relationship, maybe what we want, aware, and even the status that we have. The acronym there is CROWS. Character, relationship, objective, where, and status. And I just threw a whole bunch at you.
I'm gonna forget all of that, let's play.
Yeah, here we go. Can we have a one word offer from you, Mr. Hawk?
Banana slug.
Banana slug. Thank you. And we're gonna start with what letter in the alphabet?
C.
I can't believe we've got slugs all over the place. They're eating my lettuce.
Eating your lettuce. Do you think they themselves... Oh, D. Don't you wonder whether they might be edible themselves?
Everybody says snails are good. At least that's what they say in France. I guess banana slugs are probably tasty with a little garlic as well.
Hmm. Well, French people know something. How long have they been around? How do you feel about them?
Golly, I'd say I'm somewhat I find them somewhat disgusting looking. But if you really look closely, they're kind of beautiful.
Hi, little banana slugs. I don't want to eat you, even though it was me that suggested it originally. I just, I have to admit, I'm not bothered by them, even the fact that they eat your lettuce. What does that make me?
I don't know, but I love you, banana slug. I so love you, and I'm going to grill you up.
Jeez Louise, that's rough. I think we should go on to the next sketch. All right. Michael, thanks a lot for coming in. This was fun. Thanks for playing.
Yeah, you're very welcome for playing. You're a natural. You're a natural, and you know, I've got an appetite now between the pasta and the banana slugs. You know, we've got quite a meal in front of us.
All right.
Thank you.
See you. Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Crossing. For more information about the Puget Sound Zen Center, go to PSZC. www.zenimprov.org.